Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you came and were baptized that we might have life in you. God, we pray that you would send your Spirit now to open our hearts and minds to receive your word, to hear, to learn, to grow, to rise to new life in you. Lord, be with us. In your name we pray. Amen. You may be seated. So I watched a bit more football than I usually do over Christmas break. And as a result, I ended up watching a few more commercials than I usually do over Christmas break. As I was kind of reflecting on all of those commercials, it seemed like one theme kept emerging, that each of them kept trying to provide this limitless life. You know, buy this cell phone with a limitless data plan. Use this credit card that has a seemingly limitless credit limit. NFL stars, former stars, now old and gray, hawking all sorts of products that would allow them to get back out there and play like they were in their prime. All of them seem to be pushing this idea that we could have this product that would grant this limitless life. Well, that's a question and a desire that seems to pull on each of us. How can you have this boundless, limitless life? And the fact that advertisers draw on this idea as they're trying to sell us stuff is an indication that this pulls at each of us. We have this sense that life as we know it is not the boundless life that we were meant to have. We want something more, something greater. So how do we get there? Well, for us as Christians, the answer is found in God's grace, His limitless free gift of love, the love that He's given to us through Jesus. And this is the argument that Paul has been making to the church in Rome. You can live by the grace of God and have this life He desires for you to have. The problem was that some of those in the church at Rome had taken this free gift of God and twisted it into something that it had never meant to be. They developed it into this sort of false answer to that question. The false answer was this, that they should continue in sin that grace may abound. The way to a boundless life is to continue in sin, continue to run free, to give in to all of those desires that you think you have, the ways that you think you want to live. Go ahead and live that way because God's grace, hey, it's boundless, it's limitless. And no matter how much you do, no matter how much you sin, God's grace is still going to be there for you. It's okay. So go out and live it up and know that God's going to forgive you. Continue in sin that God's grace may abound. Well, it's a false answer. It's a lie. But like all of the best lies, it has an element of truth in it. I mean, it's true that you can continue to sin and sin and sin and sin, and God's grace will still be there, and you will never exhaust God's grace. There is nothing that you can do that is ever so bad or so many sins that you will run out of God's grace. It will always be there. It will always cover over those sins. That's the true part. But here's where the lie comes in, the falseness comes in. The falseness comes in. The reason Paul says when he hears this argument, says by no means, is that sin does not give us this boundless life. I mean, sin promises all sorts of enjoyment and freedom and life. But instead, Paul says, sin leads instead to slavery and death and a diminished life. Just ask the alcoholic who says to himself when the craving comes, oh, I can have just one drink and then I'll stop. And the next day he wakes up and he has lost control and he's a place he never wanted to be again. Sin promises life and it brings death. Society tells us that we can chase after premarital sex and we can try out living together as this test drive for marriage to see if it's going to work out. And that'll be a great way to live and experience things. It's a better way to live than the way the old-fashioned Bible says. And yet study after study after study has confirmed that the people who live in this way have less satisfaction in marriage, have higher rates of divorce, higher rates of depression. Sin promises freedom, promises this great life, but what it delivers instead is slavery and death. What's more is that if we continue in sin, that it ultimately destroys our faith and it leads to spiritual death. No, it's not that God's grace ever runs out. As much as you do, as many times you fall into sin, His grace will be there for you. But when you willfully turn away from His grace and turn away from His plan and turn away from His plan for your life and pursue that sin, it hardens your heart. Causes you each time to die a little bit more inside. So that even though that God's grace is still there for you, at a certain point, if you continue to chase after sin and turn your back on God's grace, your spirit dies. You no longer have the ability to turn back. You no longer have the ability to receive the grace that is waiting there for you. And you end in spiritual death. Should we continue in sin that grace may abound? Paul says, by no means. This is not the way to a boundless life. So what is? Well, the first part of the answer, Paul says, is that you are baptized into Christ. You're baptized, he says further, baptized into His death and baptized into His life. So the first part of this is to recognize the problem we're in. It's to recognize the sin that we have, the wrong things that we've done, the dirt that's within us, the problem that we live with, to acknowledge that problem, to be baptized into Christ's death, His death on the cross, but then also to be baptized into His life. Here's where our church year, our church cycle, takes kind of a big jump forward. It was just a couple weeks ago that we were celebrating the birth of Christ. Last week we celebrated Epiphany and the arrival of the wise men. And all of a sudden this week we've jumped forward 30 years or so in the narrative of the Bible, and we see Jesus coming down to John to be baptized in the River Jordan. It's a big jump there, but it's significant because it's helping us understand why Jesus came. I mean, John is out there and he is calling all people to repentance, people in Judea and Jerusalem to come out to repent, to go through this baptism of repentance, to recognize the things that they had done wrong and to turn away from them. But with John, it still is just this human action. And then Jesus comes. Jesus comes to the river and He asks John to baptize Him too. Now Jesus, among all of the people who has ever walked on the earth, He is the only one who was ever sinless. He's the only one who didn't need to repent. And John is surprised by this and doesn't want to baptize Jesus. And yet Jesus comes and He wants to be baptized. He asks John to be baptized, to baptize him. Because when Jesus comes into the waters of baptism, it's not that baptism changes Jesus so much as it is that Jesus changes baptism. Jesus, by His power, divine power that's within Him, He changes baptism. He creates through baptism this opportunity to be linked, for us to be linked with Him, to join ourselves to Him. And so baptism is no longer just this human action, just this human act of saying, I'm sorry for the things that I've done, but now also there is this power of God at work in there where Jesus claims us as His own and joins us to Himself. We're baptized into His death and into His life. So that when Jesus goes to the cross and He dies there on the cross, what He's done is He's carried with Him all of the sin and the guilt and the shame that we had done. That dirt and filth that's washed off of us in baptism is placed onto Him. And He dies for that on the cross. And then when God raises Him to new life, because we've been linked with Christ, we too are raised to a new spiritual life. We're connected with Jesus through these waters of baptism. And this morning we celebrate all those who have been baptized into Christ, joined with Him. We remembered our own baptism, our own linking with Christ in this way. We've been joined with Him. This boundless life that we desire is ours because we're connected to Jesus. We are forgiven, we are free, and there is nothing in this entire world that could ever separate us from the love of God. And yet this is just the first part of the answer. Second part, Paul says, is this, that we are to walk in newness of life. One of the commentary sets I use frequently was given to me by the man who was my pastor when I was a kid, when he retired. And so it was already an old and dated commentary set, and it was written by a guy who was serving ministry in England. So sometimes you read his commentary on the state of the church and it seems a little bit antiquated and quaint and out of touch. But his commentary on this passage was spot on. He says, in modern times, we may have tended to stress the fact that acceptance of the Christian way need not make so very much difference in a man's life. Paul would have said that it ought to make all the difference in the world. We've tended to stress that the Christian life shouldn't make that much difference to us. You know, if you're one of our evangelical friends, you can go out, you can pray the prayer, you can accept Jesus into your heart, and then you kind of just continue on with life the way it's always been. Doesn't have to make a big change, no sacrifice, just you've prayed the prayer, you're done. Lutherans are often accused, and sometimes rightly so, of treating baptism the same way. Well, you were baptized as an infant all those years ago, now you're set for life. Doesn't matter if you come back to church ever again or not, you know, just till, you know, time to be married and then you're done. Doesn't matter if you act in the right way, if you live the right way, if you pray, if you try to follow God. You were baptized, you're connected, you're sealed, you're set for life. Forget about the rest of it. That's not the point of baptism. I mean, yes, God's power is at work in those waters of baptism, but the point is not that we're baptized and we're done for life. The point is we're baptized into Christ that we might walk in newness of life, that we might learn to live in this power of Jesus and live into the fullness of life that He desires for us. And so Luther, building on this passage here in Romans, says that we are to daily remember our baptism. To daily make the sign of the cross upon ourselves, remembering this work of God that has been done in us, remembering the death and the life of Jesus, repenting of our sins, saying we're sorry for those things, and then rising to life through the power that of God that is still at work in us. We can continue to sin. We will continue to sin because we'll always struggle with that. But whenever we do, we recognize that sin. We remember our baptism. We remember this grace of God that's at work within us. We repent of those things. We turn back to God and we walk forward another step in this new life with Him. And the next day, surely, because we're all human, we will fall back into sin. And the next day, we remember that baptism again. And we repent and we receive that grace of God. And we set out again to take that next step in the walk of faith. We live in this newness of life that has been given to us through the power of baptism. Now, it's hard to do. That's a hard and scary thing because it means that we have to face up to all of the hard, scary, yucky places inside of us. It means we have to acknowledge our sin. It means we have to face up to the times where we have given in to that same temptation time and time and time again. And each time we have to admit it. We have to confess it to God and ask His forgiveness and grace and rise to that new life. It means that we have to acknowledge the places where we have acted selfishly and by doing so have hurt the people that we care about and we love. We have to apologize and seek their forgiveness and grace and then rise again in newness of life. It's a hard and scary thing to be open and to be honest about those dark places in us. It's a scary thing to do. Instead of trying to deny and cover up and hide, to face those ugly parts of ourselves. But the reason we can do it is because we do so from this rock-solid place of hope that says that we have been claimed by Christ, that there is nothing that we could do that would ever break that separation that He has established with us in those waters of baptism. And so because we're confident of His love, confident of His care, then we can begin to face that stuff inside of us and repent and forgive and rise to that newness of life. Another part of this walking in newness of life means that we recognize that God's limits, His laws, are good limits. They're life-giving limits. It seems kind of counterintuitive, doesn't it, to say that to have this boundless, limitless life, we actually need to recognize and live within the limits that God provides. We want a limitless life, so we're going to live by limits. That doesn't make sense. And yet it does. Because God's limits, they're not controlling, they're not limiting, blocking, but instead what they're doing is they're protecting us against falling into those ways of sin that promise life but instead lead to death. And so as we live and walk in this newness of life day by day, we begin to recognize that the instruction that God provides us in His Word, the limits and the guidelines and the boundaries that He sets out there for us, these are really life-giving limits. That as we follow His instructions, the God who created and designed this world tells us how it works. As we follow His instructions, we live into this fullness of life that we were meant to have. And this process of remembering your baptism, of dying and rising, of learning to live in this way, it's a continual, a lifelong struggle of repentance and forgiveness and confession and absolution, law and gospel, over and over and over again in our life. But it's not as if we're stuck spinning our wheels and not going anywhere. It doesn't work like that. As we continue to go around this cycle, it actually works like a spiral. And little by little, day by day, as we continue to walk in faith, as we continue to confess those sins and turn away from them, the power of sin in our life, its hold on us is broken. As we continue to struggle against those temptations by the power of God given to us in baptism, we find that we are able to not give in to those temptations anymore, to not do those selfish things anymore. By the power of God, we're able to walk into this new way of living. You are baptized into Christ, baptized into His death, baptized into His life. Some of the power of His baptism, may you walk in newness of life. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen. Please stand.